Open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Well, it's good to see so many people here this morning. Amen. Luke 15, look if you would, starting at verse 25. It says, "Now his elder brother was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, and he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry, and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found." Now, we have been studying Luke chapter 15 in the chapter, or we've been studying Luke 15 in a series of a study of parables. And we've been studying the parables now for quite some time. And what we did is we had come down to Luke 15, because in Luke 15 you see multiple parables. You'll also see that in the book of Matthew. About the middle part of Matthew, you'll see where Jesus does parable after parable after parable. And so that's what we've been looking at, are these parables. But specifically here in Luke chapter 15, we see God's lost and found, okay? And so far we looked at things that were lost and then found, and how the similarities between these parables that Jesus gives. So far we saw in this chapter the shepherd who was seeking one lost sheep. We've seen a woman who was moved to search for one lost piece of silver. We've seen the father looking for and receiving home again a lost son. Looking back at the first two verses, you'll get the setting of what Jesus was trying to teach with these parables. If you look back at verse 1 and 2, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And it was at this point that Jesus began to give a series of parables, one of them being the parable of the prodigal son. It is a parable that we all know pretty well. No doubt you've heard many sermons on the prodigal son. But in reality, the part of the parable that Jesus gives that answers the Pharisees was not the story of the prodigal son, so to speak. It was more of the story of the prodigal son's brother. Okay, you see, the Pharisees were the righteous leaders of the day, and they were self-righteous people of that day. In fact, we're told in the 18th chapter and the 9th verse that the Pharisees trusted in themselves and their righteousness. And they despised publicans and sinners, and they were critical of them. They were the type of religious people that would look down upon others that weren't as religious as they were, or at least as religious as they thought that they were. And they were critical of the things that the publicans and sinners had done in their past, and they were one of those people that said, you know what, they did this, but you would never find me doing that, not me. May I remind you this morning that it's only by the grace of God that you aren't in a gutter somewhere, that you're not a drunkard. I mean, it's only by the grace of God. Don't ever say that I would never do that. No, don't ever say, well, you'd never find me doing that. I'll tell you what, you know, the fact is we're still sinners, but we are sinners saved by grace. But we still have this flesh, this sinful flesh. And I'll tell you what, a Christian gets away from God and you'd be surprised at the things you'd do. I'm telling you what, folks, you get away from God, you'll do things that a lost person would do. And so we ought not be like these Pharisees were. These Pharisees were looking down on those publicans and sinners. And they had these Pharisees had that spirit of self-righteousness. And those Pharisees were not happy about the fact that these publicans and sinners were hanging around Jesus. These publicans and sinners were getting saved. Therefore, the older brother represents the Pharisees in this parable. Now, now that everybody, if you'll notice, everybody in these parables are happy. In every parable that Jesus gives, everybody's happy, okay, except for the older brother. The shepherd and all of his friends were happy when that sheep was found. Remember that? When we studied that, he went out to find the lost sheep, and when he finally found the lost sheep, he comes back and everybody's happy. Everybody's happy. Well, the woman, when she found the silver, she was happy, and all of her friends were happy when she found the lost silver. The father of the prodigal son was happy, and all of his servants rejoiced when the son was lost and then was found. Even the angels in heaven were happy. I mean, everybody was happy, but not the older brother. Because of the self-righteous attitude, he looked down upon his brother, and he was not happy that he had come home. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You're going to run across some Christians every now and then that the greatest news that you could ever hear, everybody's happy, everybody's rejoicing, but how many of you know there's always one sourpuss? Amen? There's always that one person that it doesn't matter how good things are going, they're always going to find fault with something. That's the way it is, and that's kind of what we have here, but more for a reason of they were, this younger brother had a reason for his unhappiness, and we're going to look at that this morning. Now, sometimes there is a tendency for people to be like this older brother. And usually, I will say that, let's say as a Christian today, there may be some elder brothers in here, or somebody that the elder brother represents in here today. Somebody who was once a prodigal. By the way, everybody in here was once a prodigal. Everybody was. But I'll tell you what, you know, once you're a prodigal, then all of a sudden you get right with God, and then you start coming to church, and you start dressing the right way, and you start looking the right way, and you start to, you know, you start to be religious. Pretty soon, if you're not careful, you'll turn into the older brother, to where you'll look down upon people who are now in the same position that you were in before you came back to the Lord. And you'll forget how it was when you were away from God and how miserable you were. You'll forget how God forgave you and allowed you to come back and restore that fellowship. You'll forget that, and you'll start to look down upon somebody else if you aren't careful. And we don't want to, listen, we're all prodigals, but none of us should ever become the elder brother. Here's a person here that this prodigal son, he came out of the slime pits of sin. He came out from a far country, out of the hog pen. He was, you know, he was glad, he was thrilled to be home, but yet his brother did not want him home. And so that is the story of the elder brother of the prodigal son. Now I want to call your attention to some things in this parable that I think are very important. First thing I want you to notice is what upset the older brother. Now, think about this. This older brother, he had been working in the field all day long in the hot sun. He comes to the closing of the day, he's planning to have a good bath, maybe have a warm meal, and he's planning on going to bed early that night because he had worked so hard. And as he approaches the home place, he hears a sound of music and rejoicing, and he could tell from the rhythm of the music that it's not a funeral, that it's more of a celebration. And so he gets to the house, and the servants are just running around everywhere, and he corners one of them servants, and he says, you know, hey, what's going on in the house? The servant looks at him and says, man, have you heard? Your brother, you remember your brother, the brother who took off, the brother you haven't heard from, well, he came back home. And your father, he's so excited and so thrilled about it that he has thrown a party because your brother came home. He's killed the fatted calf. Now, you would think that a brother would get pretty excited about that. You'd think that. But you know, I mean, after all, I mean, his brother was lost, and then his brother was found, but he's not. In fact, he's upset about it. Now, what had the older brother so upset? Well, the first thing that upset him was the return of his brother. Notice in verse 27, it said, and he said unto him, thy brother is come. Here are the tables loaded with food, the house is filled with friends and guests who've come to share in excitement of the brother who returned. There's joy in the house, but there's not joy on the outside of the house. There's not joy in this young man's heart. He's upset because his brother had come home. And a message from God to us today from this parable is that you would think that all Christians would be excited when people come to the Lord. I mean, that's what you would think. You would think that a lot of Christians would be excited if a wayward Christian came back and got right with God. But you know, not all Christians get excited about that. Not all Christians get excited about that. The older brother was the type of Christian who never get excited about people coming to the Lord. The older brother type of Christian would say, you know, did you see that person walk down the aisle today? Can you imagine being dressed like that when you come to church? That's the older brother spirit. That's the older brother spirit. I'll tell you, and I've given this illustration before. Something happened many, many years ago. I was preaching on an Easter Sunday. And, you know, we're having an Easter Sunday message. I have a lot of guests coming in. And there was a young lady who showed up there on that Easter Sunday morning with her daughter. Now, she wasn't dressed really for church, but she did what she could, okay? And I remember that she came down and after the service, and she was just, bawling in tears, and she was really convicted. So I sat there and I witnessed with her and I talked with her, and at that time she didn't get saved. Later on she did, and that was one of the most uplifting parts of the ministry I've ever seen, that lady finally did get saved. But I remember I was talking to her, and I got her right to that point, and I said, would you like to receive Jesus Christ? And she said, there's no way Jesus Christ could possibly forgive me after the things I've done. That's what she said. And I kept on trying to convince her that Jesus would forgive her. Well, like I said, she got saved later on. She didn't get saved that morning. But I never will forget that after she left, a couple people in the church came to me and said, can you believe what she wore when she came to this church? And I'm thinking to myself, this woman's lost. This woman is on the way to hell right now. And the only thing you notice is what she wore when she came to church. Folks, that's the elder brother Christian attitude right there. Listen, you know what people should be saying? Did she get saved? I saw that she was crying. I saw that she was convicted. Tell me she got saved. Please tell me she got saved. Nobody asked that. May I tell you, don't ever get to the point to where you start losing your excitement when somebody comes to the Lord. You should be excited when a Christian who's gotten away from the Lord, all of a sudden that person comes back and gets right with God. You should be excited about that. But the problem is, a lot of Christians today, what they'll do is they'll say, can you believe that what he did? He's supposed to be a Christian. I can't believe he did something like that. I hope the Lord really lays it to him. That's no way to be. I'll tell you this, one of these days, you will probably be where that Christian was. It's easy to get away from the Lord, folks. And I'll tell you what, when the time comes, when you're out there with the hogs, you're going to want people to give you grace. When you come back, you're going to want to be welcomed back. Listen, God welcomes them back. How come church members can't? And that's how we get sometimes. But I'll tell you what, you got some people that will, you know, they'll see, you know, 100 people get saved, and the older brother type of Christian, all they'll say is, well, you know, the music was too loud, or the service was too long. Always finding fault. He's not thrilled when people come to know the Lord, and he's not thrilled when a wayward Christian gets right with God. And it's been a long time since this Pharisee or this older brother, he came to himself. This prodigal son came to himself. He come out of the far country, and he come back. He got right with the father, but the older brother was upset about it. Let's make sure that we're not the elder brother. Amen? But not only that, but he was also upset with the response of the father. Now, this is really strange, okay? I mean, somebody that's faithful to his father would probably like the things that his father liked and rejoice when his father rejoiced. Amen? That's not what he did. Look at chapter 15, look at verse 27. It said, and he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Now, the older brother isn't thrilled at the attitude of his father. And the boy is, I tell you the truth, it's a good thing that this older brother wasn't in charge when his brother came home. I mean, if he had been in charge when his older brother or his brother came home, there would have been no party. There would have been no killing the fatted calf. If the elder brother had been running things, court would have been in session, and the prodigal son would have been rebuked, probably punished for leaving. But what we have is a wonderful father in heaven who says when the sinner comes home that he's thrilled with that. You know, he says, let's have a celebration. He who is lost is now found. He who is dead is alive again. He who had gotten away from the Father is now returned. The older brother was not thrilled and captivated over the wonderful love of the Father. He wasn't amazed at the Father's love. And because of this, the older brother of the prodigal son was upset. So what we see is we see what upset the older brother. But I also want you to notice the older brother's attitude. Look at verse 28. It says, and he was angry. Angry. Not excited. Not rejoicing. Angry. And would not go in. Now every time I read that, I can just picture him standing out there. When everybody comes up and goes, come on in, come on in. Mm-mm. Well, come on in. I mean, there's brisket. That's what brisket is. It's a killing of the fatted calf. Amen. I mean, anyway, he said, there's brisket. There's a fatted calf. There's meatloaf, all these things, and we're rejoicing. Come on in. Nope, not going to do it. Do you get the idea that maybe he's a spoiled little brat? That's what I get when I read it. You say, well, why did he have the attitude? Well, for starters, he was serving the Father with the wrong motives. He was serving the Father with the wrong motives. The boy's motive for serving the Father should have been to please the Father. If the Father was pleased, then that should have brought the boy joy. But look at verse 28 again. It says, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. He had been serving the Father, yet the older brother had no joy in his life. You know, it's possible for a believer to do the work of the Lord and not have joy. The only way that that happens is if you get to the point where you're serving the Lord and you no longer have a joy doing it, then you have your motive for serving the Lord has become a wrong motive. Because if your motive truly is pleasing the Lord and glorifying the Lord with what you do, whatever it is you do for the Lord, if your motive truly is to please Him and glorify Him, you'll have joy doing it. But the moment that you don't have joy doing it anymore, your motive changed. Your motive changed. You're not serving the Lord because you love Him and you want to please Him. You have another motive. And that was the reason why this boy had the attitude. He served with the wrong motive. His motive for serving the Lord was that he wanted the recognition. How do we know that? Look at verse 29. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. You know what he wanted? He wanted recognition. He did what he did for the Father because he wanted to be recognized by the Father before it. You know, there are a lot of people today, you know the reason why they serve in churches? Because they want other people to see them serving in churches. They want to be recognized for it. They want that pat on the back. They want to hear, hey, boy, you're doing a great job. I am thankful for everybody that serves in this church, and I'm just going to tell you that from moving to that other church to here, a lot of people have done a lot of things, and I'm so thankful for that. I really am. I mean, it's just amazing to see how many people just did what they could, whether it be grabbing books, grabbing boxes, grabbing, you know, push a vacuum cleaner, or whatever it was. And for those that couldn't help, they prayed. I'm thankful for that. I really am. But may I tell you, don't do what you do because you want to be recognized by other people. Because there'll be a time that you won't be recognized for other people. And you know what you'll say? You'll say this. You'll say, you know, I do so much around this church and nobody ever notices. Yeah, that's what you'll do. And pretty soon you won't be joyful at all. You'll be bitter. Why? You're serving with the wrong motives. You do what you do to please God. Not anybody else in this room, you do what you do to please God. But why? Because God will never let you down. God sees everything. And listen, when you glorify God, one of these days you're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to get rewarded for how you glorified God. God keeps a record of it all, folks. And listen, you do something for Him. You serve and you serve for Him. You're going to get rewards for it one of these days. You're going to get recognized for it for one of these days. You may not get recognized for it right here on this side of eternity, but you will there. And He'll always recognize it. He won't miss a single time that you did what you did for his glory. He won't miss it. Other people will miss it. Other people won't be appreciative of it. Other people won't recognize you. But God will. You do what you do for the glory of God. And everything that we do, do for the glory of God. But not only did this boy have an attitude because he was serving the Lord with the wrong motives, he also had a wrong attitude because he had forgotten what he had. You remember when the prodigal son left home, the Bible says back in verse 12 that the father divided unto them his living. Now, because the older brother was the older brother, that would have gotten him more than the younger brother, because according to the Old Testament, the older brother got more. If you'll notice later on, the father says in verse 31, he tells the older brother, he says, all that I have is thine. This boy had an inheritance, but he'd forgotten that he had had an inheritance. He'd forgotten what he had. And there are some Christians like that. May I remind you this morning that if you're saved, you have an inheritance for you that's waiting on you right now. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Colossians 1, 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Listen, there is an inheritance waiting on you right now in heaven. And it can never be corrupted. It'll never fade away. It's yours. All that the Father hath, he's given to you. You say, what is that inheritance? It's all of heaven. You remember reading over there in Revelation chapter 21? Talks about the golden streets in the New Jerusalem. And it's so the gold is so pure that you could see through it like glass. That's yours. That's yours. And I'm looking forward to it. Don't ever forget what you have in the Lord. But that's what this older brother did. He forgot what he had. Is that you this morning? Have you forgotten that you have riches in Christ? Do you still have that joy in your heart when you're serving the Lord, knowing all that the Lord has done for you and continues to do for you? So these are the things about the older brother. Now I want you to notice something else about this older brother, and that is, he started naming all the things that his brother had done. Look at verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, now he's talking to his dad, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Now I always wondered how he knew that. It's a strange thing. I mean, never said, I mean, how did the older brother possibly know that? But I want you to notice here that there's no evidence that this older brother made any effort whatsoever to go into the far country and retrieve his brother. It's like when his brother left, he really didn't even care. And not only that, but there's no evidence whatsoever that he had any concern for the younger brother while he was gone. But when the younger brother comes back, it seems like the older brother just concentrates more on the things that the younger brother had done while he was away, rather than the fact that he was safely back home. A lot of Christians do that. They'll focus on the things that those Christians did when they weren't right with God. I saw you at the bar. I saw you doing this. I saw you doing that. And there they are, they're back. They're back right with God. But some Christians will not focus so much on the fact that he's back right with God. They'll focus on the things that they did or that he did when he wasn't there, when he wasn't right with God. So you got to figure that now that he's back home, this older brother should be excited. But the younger brother, this younger brother was back, but he was not excited. And so he's looking down at his brother who had come back. Kind of like those Pharisees were looking back at those publicans and sinners and saying, I can't believe that you're hanging out with publicans and sinners like them. Don't you know what they did? Don't you know that there's harlots there? Don't you know that there's publicans there? Don't you know that there are sinners there? You know what they're doing? They're naming all the things that those people that Jesus was hanging around have been doing. That's the reason he gave the parable, because the older brother was doing the same thing. And I can almost hear the older brother singing under his breath, I would never do what he did. And so he started to criticize the things that his younger brother had done. And sometimes I think that one of the favorite indoor sports of some Christians is finding fault and criticizing the sins of other people. I'll tell you this, folks. I'll be honest with you. I have plenty of troubles dealing with my own problems. I have plenty of troubles trying to deal with Bob Crowder. I don't need to look at you and the things that you're doing. And you know what? If you're really honest with yourself, you'd probably be saying the same thing. I'll tell you this. If you're looking at somebody else and the things they're doing, chances are you're probably trying to hide the things that you're doing. We need to concentrate on ourselves. And so we looked at what upset the older brother. We looked at the attitude or the poor attitude of the older brother. But now I want you to look at the decision the older brother made. Now, even though this parable was given for the sake of the Pharisees standing there before Jesus, and in the parable the older brother pictures those Pharisees, the overall intent of the parable is to show the love of the Father. That is the overall intent. And like we've looked at when we looked at these other parables, remember, all these parables are really, really similar. That's reading to call it God's Lost and Found. So what you have these Pharisees standing there. There's Jesus standing there, and he's with all these publicans and sinners. And, of course, the Pharisees are sitting there all religious, all clean, you know, or at least they think they are, self-righteous. And they look and they say, I cannot believe that Jesus is hanging around people like that. Don't you understand what that woman has been doing? Don't you understand what that man's been doing? Oh, look over there. There's an IRS agent. You know what he's been doing. And so they're critical. And then Jesus gives them these parables. And he talks about the lost and found. You know who, when he was talking about the lost and found, do you know who he was referring to? Those publicans and sinners that were right there with him. He looks at these publicans and sinners, and the Pharisees are looking down upon him. And he says, let me tell you a parable about the lost sheep. The guy has 100 sheep, 99 of them stay at home, but one wanders away. And you know what? I went and found that lost sheep, and I brought it back, and everybody rejoiced. This publican, he's the lost sheep. And then he gives another parable, and he says, well, you know, then there was another parable about this woman who lost the silver. Lost the silver coin. And she looked everywhere for it. She looked under the couches. She looked under the bed. She looked under the chairs. And then right there amongst all the dirt and the dust on the floor, she reaches down. She finds that thing and pulls that silver coin up out of the dirt and the mire, brushes it off, and said, I found my coin. This harlot over here, she's the coin. The whole time the Pharisees are looking at her. They're thinking, what in the world is he talking about? And then, as he's standing there, he says, and then there was a father who had two sons. One of those sons said, hey, give me my inheritance. And that son leaves, and he goes out into the world, and he blows all the inheritance. And while he's out there, finally it gets so bad, because once the world is done with you, the world doesn't care about you. They care about your money. And once they got done with him, he didn't have anything else. He's out there laying with the hogs. The world didn't care. But then he's laying there and he repents. He came to himself. And he says, you know what? I had it better back at my dad's place than I have it here. Even the servants have it better back there than what I'm doing. Yeah, I don't see those servants back there laying with the hogs. They're out there at my father's place and they're having it pretty good. I think maybe I better go back. And so he comes back. And when he comes back, he doesn't even make it up the driveway, and the father comes running. Throws his arm around him, kissed him on the neck, welcoming him back. Do you realize that those parables that Jesus gave them showed them how important every soul is to God? That's how important it is. That's the reason he gave those parables, to show how important those publicans and sinners were to Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, he died for those publicans and sinners. He did what he could do to save those publicans and sinners. He did what he could do to save you if you're not saved here this morning. And he loves you this morning if you're not saved or if you're saved. He loves you. He cares about you. That's what those publicans, or that's what those parables meant when he was giving it to those Pharisees. He was telling those Pharisees, listen, God cares about all lost people, to include you Pharisees. But then, after he gets given those parables, then he starts talking about the elder brother and how he felt about the things that God cared about. How that elder brother felt about the things that the father loved. And that elder brother's sitting there and he doesn't like it at all. The elder brother's sitting there and he's saying, you know what? I can't believe that the father even cares about that brother of mine after the things that he did. I can't, you know, he went out there and he blew all of his inheritance. I can't believe that he would even care, let alone throw a party because he came back. And that whole time, that's what that elder brother is looking at. And the elder brother represents those Pharisees. But what was the decision? Now remember, all this parable, in this parable, you know, here he is, the older brother. You stand out there, he's all mad. He's acting like a little spoiled brat. He won't go inside. He's saying, you should have done all this stuff for me, but you didn't do it for me. Why didn't you do it for me, but you did it for him? Kind of, there's some jealousy there, no doubt about it. And even though the parable was given for the sake of the Pharisees standing there before Jesus, and in this parable, the older brother pictures those Pharisees, the overall intent of the parable is to show the love of the Father. But when we look at the rest of the story here with the older brother, that's meant just for those Pharisees. And he talks about how the father came and kissed him on his neck, and how he put the ring on his finger, and how he put the shoes on his feet, and how he put the fatted calf in the empty stomach of that boy who was lost but now is found. Boy, what a father. Can't you see the love of the father there? Don't you know that whenever you got away from the Lord, then all of a sudden you came back, that God gave you grace, that God showed you his love? The father leaves the party, he goes out where the elder brother is. The father could have said, listen, you know, if you think about this, folks, do you realize that when the younger brother who went out and blew off his inheritance, when he came back, it says the father rushed out to him, fell on his neck, gave him a kiss on his neck. Amen? Don't you realize here, when the elder brother is standing outside, who goes to who? The father goes to him. The father comes out to him. And the father could have said, you know, listen, we'll talk about this later, but I want you to go inside and do your duty and act happy. At least act happy that your brother's back. He could have said that, but he didn't say it. In verse 28, it says this, and he, the brother, was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He does basically for the elder brother what he did for the younger brother. He goes out to him. Look at verse 31. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. The father says, now listen, son, you're always with me, and everything I have, it belongs to you. It's all yours, but you should rejoice in the fact that the lost was found. You should rejoice. You should rejoice in the fact that my son who was away and away for so long, now he's back. My other servants are rejoicing. All of heaven is rejoicing. You should too. Boy, that's a great message to everybody in this room, isn't it? You know, I'm thankful that we have a heavenly Father who even loves us, who even loves those of us who are unlovable sometimes. May I tell you that even if you're a person today with an elderly brother attitude, God still loves you. He still loves you. He may not be pleased with your attitude, but he still loves you. Now, what decision did this elder brother make? Did he go in and rejoice? Did he join all the servants and say, you know, I'm glad my brother's back. I'm glad that the lost is now found. Or did he stay outside and continue to sulk like he's been pretty much for the entire parable? What did he do? Well, the father goes out and entreats him to come in and enjoy the celebration, and all of a sudden, the parable just ends. It's a strange thing. It just ends. He leaves you hanging. Now, this is one of two times that I've found in the Bible where the Lord leaves you hanging. Here, at the end of this parable, and then at the end of the book of Jonah. You know what you find at the end of the book of Jonah? You find Jonah sitting up there, looking down on Nineveh, and all of a sudden it just ends. It's almost like the Lord just stops short of telling you what the young or what the elder brother did. So that way, if there's any elder brothers in this room, you've got a decision to make. What are you going to do? When somebody gets saved, are you going to rejoice? Are you going to get excited about it? Or are you going to sit there and sulk because everybody isn't making a big deal about you? When a Christian gets away from the Lord and all of a sudden that Christian comes back and decides to serve God, are you going to sit there like a sourpuss and talk about all the things that they did when they were away from God and tell everybody, oh, I wouldn't do those things. You never see me doing those things. Oh, and by the way, you never say it loud. You always say it underneath your breath. You going to be like that? Or are you going to walk up to that person, shake his hand and say, man, I'm glad you're back. We missed you. Let's start serving the Lord together. The Lord left the parable open so that all the elder brothers, so those Pharisees would have a decision to make. What are you going to do? And that's the end of the parable. If you're an elder brother this morning, what are you going to do? Listen, I'm not accusing anybody here of being an elder brother, but I'm telling you this, the potential is there for every one of us. Every one of us. What are you going to do? That's the parable of the elder brother. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, again for this parable and the parables that we find here in Luke chapter 15 and all the parables. And Father, help us always to look at these parables, Lord, and study them and find out what the Lord was saying to those people, Lord, with those parables and what those parables mean to us personally. I pray this morning, Lord, there's somebody in this church that has developed the elder brother attitude to where they look down upon others. They don't get excited serving you. They don't have any joy in their heart. They're critical of other people. Father, I pray this morning that you'll just continue to work in their heart, Lord, and help them to make the right decision and change their ways and repent. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.